Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, how you doing, everyone? I'm Ross Salzberg, and once again, I want you all to listen up here and get a load of this. The National Football League is now into its preseason, and with the spotlights beaming down on its young quarterbacks, madness rules the day in the NFL. And if you ask me, with no end in sight, none whatsoever. So like I said, listen up, because you're really, I mean really going to want to get a load of this. I don't know, especially if you're a sports fan. When I say sports fan, you know, you watch all sports. There can't be a more polarizing position in the world of sports than that of an NFL quarterback. None. It's probably the most important position in all of sports. I mean, you got 11 guys on each side of the ball. The quarterback gets the ball on every possession, on every snap. He's the guy. He's the guy in charge. He makes the engine go. And if he's not making it go, chances are you ain't winning. But listen, I've been covering football here in New York since 1988. Okay? And before that, I covered it in Canada in the CFL. And I'm telling you, there is no position that is more polarizing in all of sports than that of the NFL quarterback. But having said that, what I talk about madness ruling the day, we get to the point when it comes to the draft. And listen, you build organizations get built through the draft. Yeah, you can make trades and you can sign free agents, but in football, really, more so than any sport, you're building through the draft, okay? You're building through the draft. And, you know, if you're wrong on a quarterback, it can set your franchise back quite a bit. I understand that. But at the same point, there is no given, there is no guarantee of what you're going to get in the quarterback. You could say this guy is can't miss, and he misses. You could say he's a can't miss, but he misses. Ryan Leaf was supposed to be a great quarterback. He missed. Whether it was on-field problems, off-field problems, he missed. All right? You know, I bring this up because some young quarterbacks made their NFL preseason, if you will, debuts this week. Number one, the number one pick overall, who everybody was going gaga nuts over him, Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, the number one pick. He was, in a loss to the Browns, he was 6-for-9, passing 71 yards. It was a 23-13 loss, but he was fine. No great shakes, no disasters. He was fine. Zach Wilson, the number two pick, Zach Wilson of the New York Jets. I was at the game. They beat the Giants 12-7. Zach Wilson, similar numbers to Trevor Lawrence. He was 6-for-9, passing 63 yards. No touchdowns. All right? And everybody's talking. I mean, I read something today, you know, like how can you make him out to be, not make him out to be, what does he need to do to be the next Joe Namath? Therein lies a problem in itself. And everybody who has followed Joe Willie White Shoes Namath falls into that problem. He's not. Nobody is. Nobody can be Joe Namath, because Joe Namath was the glamour boy. Joe Namath was the original. Joe Namath led the NFL, I should say the AFL to glory in Super Bowl III. So, but, okay, that's Zach Wilson. Then there was Trey Lance. Trey Lance, he had a good game for the, he was drafted third out of North Dakota State University. They lost to the Chiefs 19-16. Lance had a good game. 5 of 14 passing, 124 yards. 80 of those yards on a touchdown pass. 80 of those yards on a touchdown pass. And then the number 11 pick, the 11th pick overall out of Ohio State, Justin Fields for the Bears. He was 14 for 20, 142 yards. One touchdown pass. It was a 30-yarder. Okay? They beat the Dolphins 20-13. I mean, who wins and who loses in the preseason means nothing. It absolutely means zero. So I don't put any stock in that. And to me, unless a guy looks like he's got two left hands or two left feet and he's a righty or vice versa, I just don't go nuts over the preseason. You know, I just don't. You know, this training camp, in preseason, you're not playing with a full deck, if you will. Doesn't work that way for good reason, because coaches have to evaluate what they have. But, you know, I'm going back to a few years back with, remember when Sam Darnold, yeah, that's right. Sam Darnold was drafted by the Jets. Okay? Sam Darnold was drafted by the Jets only because and he's now a Carolina Panther, but he was drafted by the Jets only because the Giants passed on him and took Saquon Barkley. Okay? They took Saquon Barkley. And I remember people reading. I remember myself reading what people were writing. Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, is going to rue the day that he passed on Sam Darnold 10 years from now, when Sam Darnold is the franchise quarterback and a running back is out of football. Well, you know what? The only reason Saquon was out of football last season was after he ripped up his knee. But Sam Darnold's now a Carolina Panther. And the same people who were saying that when the Giants passed on Sam Darnold, or the same people last year wanting to get Darnold out of town and hoping the Jets could tank a season so they could draft Trevor Lawrence. It just becomes madness in every sense. There is no sure thing in the National Football League. Yeah, we think guys are going to be very good. We would bet on guys being very good. But sometimes you lose on those bets. And I was at the Giants-Jets game. I was at the Giants-Jets game Saturday night. And I'm telling you, the vibes that you get, like, the sighs and the moans and the groans and the this and the that and the comments. You know, look at this. What are they doing? What are they, nobody was killing Zach Wilson. He looked okay. You know why he looked okay? Because he didn't give anybody any reason to go, woe is me. Look what this guy did. Look how poor he looked. He looked okay. He looked okay. But a guy goes in for a couple of series, I'm not judging him on a couple of series. Nor am I judging Trevor Lawrence on a couple of series. Do I think he's a terrific athlete, Trevor Lawrence? Without question. I would have loved to get him here in New York, but he didn't come. But I'm not going to judge any or everybody based on you know, like they're in training camp. It's preseason. I got to see what they're going to do. And it's not just it's not just because I'm talking about the guys who were drafted, you know, in the 2021 draft. But, you know, let's go back a couple of years. Let's go back to Daniel Jones being drafted sixth overall by the Giants in 2019. And people were killing the Giants because they didn't draft Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Okay, so the Washington Redskins, who are now the Washington football team, they drafted him. Okay, he's now a Pittsburgh Steeler, trying to be the backup there. Now, I can guarantee you this, as sure as I'm sitting here, had the Giants drafted Dwayne Haskins, had the Giants drafted, and I'm not, I hope Dwayne Haskins has got himself straightened out, his head's on straight, and I hope he makes it with the Steelers. But had the Giants drafted Dwayne Haskins, and Haskins had the problems that he had in Washington, they would have killed, the media would have killed the Giants here in New York, would have killed the Giants for not doing their due diligence to find out about this young man and his problems. And was he really a good quarterback? And what kind of character and guy is he off the field? I'm telling you, it would have happened. So they drafted Daniel Jones. All right? And Daniel Jones was in the unenviable position of replacing a New York Giant legend in Eli Manning. Pat Shurmur, coach at the time, made that decision. The decision was made. Daniel Jones threw 24 touchdowns after he was made the starter. I think it was 13 games he started, or 12 games he started. 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So last year, everybody's talking about this year with Daniel Jones. It's make or break. It's a make or break year. And this is not, I'm not representing the New York Football Giants Chamber of Commerce, folks. But make or break year, why is it a make or break year? Obviously, we all want to see, when I say we, anybody wants to see improvement, whether it's Daniel Jones or Joe Schmo. You want to see improvement in your quarterback and all your players. But, you know, there was a drop-off with Daniel Jones last year. The 24 touchdowns went down to 11. Interceptions were 10. People are always talking about that. You know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about the fact that he was hurt. He was gimpy, missed a couple of games, was gimpy in some other games. Okay? They don't talk about the fact that some of his receivers were hurt. I think Sterling Shepard last year only played 4 of the 16 games. Golden Tate, I think, was only, what'd I say, 4? He missed 4 games. He only played in 12. Golden Tate only played in 12 games. People neglect to say that. There was that tremendous running back, that fellow I mentioned earlier, Saquon Barkley, whose knee was ripped up in the second game of the season. His knee was ripped up. He didn't have. Jones did not have him in the backfield to hand the ball off to or to keep defense is honest. That was a significant difference on top of the fact that you're talking about a second-year quarterback. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm talking about legitimate, honest facts. He was your second-year quarterback dealing with the pandemic. Now, everybody had to deal with the pandemic, but he's a second-year quarterback dealing with the pandemic. Not only is he a second-year quarterback dealing with the pandemic, he was also a second-year quarterback dealing with a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator. But it's the make-or-break year for Daniel Jones. I like all these colleagues of mine, on air, off the air, people who write. If every day they were told it's your make-or-break day, it's your make-or-break season. Yes. Oh, we certainly don't want to see Daniel Jones stink the joint out. And I'm willing to bet he does anything but that. I think he's got some pretty good weapons on offense, especially if Saquon comes back. And signs are pointing to that. They also neglected to say something else. I hear this all the time when all these people are talking about the, you know, Daniel Jones dropped last year. He didn't have Saquon Barkley. At one point last year, it got to a point where not one, not two, but three rookie, they keep talking about the offensive line that has to get better. And the decision was made to for guys to get better, they got to play. So at one point last season, not one, not two, but three rookies were starting on the offensive line to protect Daniel Jones. Three of them. And quite frankly, they went through some improvements. It was Andrew Thomas, it was Shane Lemieux, it was Matt Peart. At center was Nick Gates, who had been an offensive lineman for 3 years, but he was a first-year center. So you had a first-year center and three rookie offensive linemen. I don't see that getting mentioned a whole lot. When they talk about all that Daniel, you know, he regressed last year. No, to me, he didn't regress. It was a rough season. But if you want to talk about regressing, let's talk about the reasons why. It just becomes, you can't expect Daniel Jones. He took over for Eli Manning. You can't expect him to be the reincarnation of Eli Manning. And we keep waiting and waiting and waiting from a Jet perspective for the next Joe Namath. You hear it all the time. Mike Vaccaro, who's not a good columnist, he's one of the best, great columnists for the New York Post. I know Mike, terrific columnist, terrific guy. And he was writing something today about, you know, how do you make the next Joe Namath? And he wasn't comparing the young man, Zach Wilson, to Namath. But that's will always be there for the Jets. Who's going to be the next Joe Namath? They don't allow this guy to be Zach Wilson. Mark Sanchez was, you know, I mean, they jumped on a Mark Sanchez bandwagon. Everybody. It just doesn't work that way. You know, all these young quarterbacks, you just don't know. But they put such a focus, such a spotlight. Like I say, the quarterback position is the most polarizing position in the National Football League. Without question, but forget the National Football League, it's the most polarizing position in all of sports. And let's face it, how are you going to win without a terrific quarterback? He's the guy who makes the engine go. So I do understand the stakes. I do understand the importance. I'm here telling you how important the position is. But just because the position is that important, and just because he's drafted high, you can't reach the foregone conclusion that this is it. We've seen them all flop in every sport. Now, you flop with an NFL quarterback because you're going to draft high or make that pick, especially if you're drafting high, that sets you back. But to wait with bated breath on every pass, every move, every decision, it's and you know, some of the judgments are so cockeyed and out of line, just doesn't make any sense. You know why people didn't want Daniel Jones for the Giants? Because they didn't know an awful lot about Daniel Jones. They knew he played for Duke. And I have my own philosophy when it comes to a lot of draft picks in the National Football League. And I don't care if it's a first rounder or the last guy in a draft. Because you know what? If you're not coming from an Ohio State or like a Clemson or a big school, you don't know a whole lot about these other talents in other schools. If you're not a stud out of Notre Dame, you don't know. How many of these guys you think saw North Dakota State U Trey Lance, who was drafted third? I'm not going to sit here and tell you this kid's a can't miss. Trey Lance came up and kissed me on the lips. I wouldn't know who the hell he is. You make your choice, you assess the situation, you make your draft, and then you wait and see what happens. But if you're going to make judgments on talent, make judgments that are fair and accurate. I can tell you this. If Daniel Jones stinks the joint out, which I'm telling you he's not going to do, if Daniel Jones, God forbid, should stink the joint out in 2021, the Giants are going to be sick to their stomachs. But I don't expect that to happen, and more importantly, they don't expect it to happen. They don't view it as a make or break year for Daniel Jones. They look at this coming season as a year of improvement for Daniel Jones. They got him surrounded with some gifted offensive players, which quite frankly, he has a chance to have a group of receivers that I don't think Eli Manning had collectively a group as good as this altogether at one time. They have a chance to be that good. You know, when they got Kenny Golladay and Sterling Shepard looks better than ever, Darius Slayton, you know, they got a chance to be really good offensively. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Because between now and then, I don't know who's going to be healthy, who's not. That's life in the National Football League. But I can talk to you people till I'm blue in the face, and I can tell you it's never going to change. It's the hot button is always the NFL quarterback. That's the way it is. That's the way it will stay. I guarantee you and I will have these discussions with you ad nauseum throughout the season. This guy got to go. This guy got to be done with. Really? It just doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way. Really? I don't know what else to tell you, folks. If it's your team, if you're a Giants fan, root for your Giants. If you're a Jets fan, root for your Jets. And when you look at the quarterback situation, look at it with a level head and an open mind. And I can don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear. Because people talk with an agenda. And as long as you know me, you know I've been saying that for the longest time. And that, my friends, is a wrap on today's Get a Load of This. Now I'd like to get a load of you. Let me know your thoughts on today's podcast. You can do so on Twitter at Russ Salzberg. You can do it on Facebook. You can always check out my website at russsalzberg.com. Now I'd like to thank my home here at Bleav.com because, as you know, Bleav is the number one podcast network for professionals. But above all, as always, I want to thank you, the people out there, because without you, the people out there, I'd have nobody in here to be talking to. So until next time, it is I, Russ Salzberg, saying to each and every one of you, bye-bye, so long, and farewell. Have yourselves a great week.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.